I heard the following story recently. Reverend Billy Graham, the famous evangelist, who sadly died earlier this year, tells of a time in his ministry quite early on when he arrived in a small town to preach a sermon. Wanting to post a letter, he asked a young boy where the post office was. When the boy had told him, Dr. Graham thanked him and said, "If you'll come along to church this evening, you can hear me telling everyone how to get to heaven." The boy replied, "I doubt I'll be there. You don't even know your way to the post office." Well, our gospel reading this morning helps us to explore doubt. And we hear why the disciple Thomas has been nicknamed Doubting Thomas. If we think about doubt for a moment, we'll realise it can often appear in many areas of our lives. As I prepared to write this sermon, I surrounded myself with books and writings on doubt. You could say that I was sitting in a sea of doubt in my study. Well, we talk about a sea of doubt as if we were adrift or rudderless, floating aimlessly, tossed this way and that. But I wonder if there's another way for us to look at doubt and to see what it is that we can learn from it. So I'd like to look at three areas of doubt this morning. The first is doubting ourselves, or self-doubt. The second is doubting others. And the third is doubting God. Now, Thomas doesn't seem to suffer from self-doubt, but it can affect many of us. And I belong to the Association of Christian Writers, and in the most recent copy of their magazine to fall on my doormat was an article entitled The Fog of Self-Doubt. It was written by a lady called Nikki Salt as a result of receiving yet another rejection letter from a publisher. And she describes how she is plagued by the fog of self-doubt. She says, "This fog is the smoke that clouds your mind, whispers words that pull you down and wound your soul." The fog of self-doubt caused her to consider herself a poor writer. The article is actually very well written. But rather than sitting adrift and wallowing in her own sea of doubt, Nikki decided to be proactive and pragmatic, and recalling Ernest Hemingway's wise words that say, "Don't get discouraged because there's a lot of mechanical work to writing. The first draft of anything is rubbish." Well, then Nikki discovered that Hemingway rewrote the novel A Farewell to Arms at least 50 times. 50 times! She said when she realised that, the fog of her own self-doubt began to thin. Greatly encouraged, Nikki did a bit more research and found that many other brilliant authors had their work initially rejected. J.K. Rowling was rudely told not to quit her day job, and Harry Potter was rejected 12 times before being taken on by Bloomsbury Press. Dr. Seuss was rejected 27 times, William Golding's Lord of the Flies 20 times, Margaret Mitchell's Gone with the Wind 38 times. Rudyard Kipling was criticised for not knowing how to use the English language. And Agatha Christie waited 4 years before any of her work was published. And Louisa May Alcott of Little Women fame was told to stick to teaching. So thank God none of these writers gave in to self-doubt. Nikki had begun her article saying that she had lost faith in herself and the God-given gift she felt that she had, but ended her article by saying that she will persevere and feel that she is born to write. She says, "I'll scatter the inky words across my page like the proverbial farmer scatters the seed. Some will fall among the weeds and will be choked. Some will fall on hard ground to dry and shrivel in the sun. And some might just fall in good soil and will grow and nourish the world. But none will be lost in the fog of self-doubt." when we have the honesty and the courage to share our self-doubts and the wounds that we have received as a result. We can have a great impact on others and offer them encouragement. So if you are struggling with self-doubt at the moment, may I encourage you to pray, to take this to God, and to ask him to illuminate your path, to show you the way forward, and how he wants you to use your wounds to encourage others. It could contribute to the sharing and the building of community, as we read in Acts today. Well, secondly, we're looking at doubting others. Thomas doubted what his friends, the other disciples, had told him. He needed to see Jesus' wounds for himself. There are times when the world around us can seem a dark and terrible place. Perhaps that's how Thomas was feeling at the death of Jesus. And that kind of thing can lead us to doubt the wisdom of others. Perhaps the wisdom of government, the church, or areas of authority. Perhaps these places have caused us to be wounded by their actions or as a result of them. Some of these doubts can be justified. There are many people that we could look at in this section, but I shall focus on just one. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a Lutheran pastor and German theologian, doubted what Adolf Hitler was saying and doing, and Bonhoeffer publicly spoke out against him and his party. Eventually, Bonhoeffer was imprisoned in Germany and was hanged on this day, the 8th of April, 1945. But not before he had written his letters and papers from prison, which were published posthumously. This is a moving collection of work documenting the last years of a man condemned to die because of his Christian beliefs. Bonhoeffer wasn't an academic, he was a theologian for the people, and these letters have inspired and encouraged so many others. As a result of Dietrich Bonhoeffer's courage to voice his doubts, he has encouraged many others in faith, in their own thoughts and their own wrestlings. As a result of his wounds and his death, the world was changed. And our final section is doubting God. I wonder if you think that Thomas is doubting God here in this passage. When people wrestle with doubting God, they may tell themselves that they will try harder to have more faith. John Ortberg, the American pastor and writer, in his book wonderfully titled, If You Want to Walk on Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat, says, faith is not the kind of thing that can be acquired by trying harder. He gives the example of the well-known American geyser, Old Faithful, which has erupted every 44 to 125 minutes since the year 2000. If you doubted Old Faithful, John writes, the best advice you'd probably be given is to hang around Old Faithful, to get to know it better. The more you got to know Old Faithful, the more you'd trust it. John argues that it's the same with God. He says, don't try to have more faith, just get to know God better. And because God is faithful, the more you get to know him, the more you will trust him. There's a story in Mark's gospel of a father who brings his son to Jesus for him to be healed. The father begs for the boy to be made well and says to Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief. The Message version of this reads, I believe, help me with my doubts. How much faith did that father have? Enough to simply come to Jesus. And that was enough. How much faith do we need? Not necessarily a feeling of certainty, but just enough faith to take a step. And Thomas took a step of faith in his courage to question the resurrection of Jesus. He had the honesty to speak out and say, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." I wonder if you are encouraged this morning by Thomas and the courage that he had to share his doubts. Doubt is part of life and part of our journey of faith, if we allow it to be. By asking questions, by delving and wrestling, we peel back layers revealing hidden truths, hidden treasures that can enable our faith to go deeper and deeper. When Jesus appears to Thomas, it is Jesus' wounds that reveal the truth of his resurrection and transform Thomas's faith. Does Thomas have to touch the wounds, or do the wounds touch Thomas? A week later, as Jesus appears to Thomas, the disciple instantly understands. He sees the truth of the risen Jesus, whose endless love for humanity knows no bounds. His doubts are gone. Our wrestlings may come at a cost. Our doubts may cause us to have wounds. There is a story of a man who goes to heaven. An angel welcomes him as he arrives and says, "Where are your wounds?" "I don't have any," said the man. "Why?" asks the angel. "Was there nothing worth fighting for?" If you're wrestling with doubts, keep wrestling, and let us give thanks to God for those who have wrestled before us, for their honesty, their courage, and their inspiration. Amen.